Him and his ilk were espousing sort of racial hatred, basically. This is more often used, or you kind of more often see it when it's Islamist sort of terrorists sort of sharing ISIS videos and beheading videos and all that sort of stuff. But this guy was sharing far-right stuff. So it's, you know, the manifestos of people like Anders Breivik, Dylan Roof, and also Brenton Tarrant.
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you're listening to Crime World, a podcast about criminals, drugs, and the sins of the underworld in Ireland and across the globe. A self-described British fascist has admitted that he shared terrorist documents on a Telegram channel and now faces a lengthy jail term. Gym fanatic Christopher Kearney was arrested and extradited from Alicante in Spain, where he was running the social media channel under the nickname Charlie Big Potatoes. Kearney had shared the manifestos of mass killers, including Norwegian Anders Breivik, and also shared posts encouraging violence against black people, Jews and Muslims. Today, I'm talking to Chris Summers, who was in the Old Bailey, where Kearney pleaded guilty, and later took to the stand to defend his beliefs. This is Crime World, a podcast from SundayWorld.com. Chris, this has been a very unusual case before the courts in the UK in the Old Bailey. Christopher Kearney, a 38-year-old from Liverpool, who has pleaded guilty to sharing terrorist materials on this phone app we call Telegram, where I think there's lots of dodgy stuff. I went on it myself recently and I don't know. I seem to be inundated. I'm actually going to think I'm going to delete it with stuff. But tell us a little bit about the Telegram app, first of all, and what this guy was sharing on it.
Yeah, I mean, I do have Telegram, and I sort of use it to message people, usually people who don't want to give their full identities.
Yeah.
But he apparently had a Telegram channel, so I'm not quite sure how that works, but I think you can, you know, people can just subscribe to your channel and then they hear you babbling on or you know, live streaming when you're sort of spouting forth.
Yes. And it's a place where there have been a lot of kind of racism and stuff which would be probably barred from other social medias.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it's not like normal sort of broadcasting or even the internet, where you you know, there's all sorts of rules, and if you break the rules with sort of racist language or whatever, you'll be thrown off or you'll be sort of suspended while you're investigated or whatever. But Telegram, it sounds like there's no rules. I mean, I guess some people would say, well, it's the home of free speech, and you know, people can say whatever they want, but obviously, him and his ilk were sort of espousing sort of racial hatred, basically.
So the actual details of what, so he basically placed some material on this Telegram channel of his that was illegal, presumably. That's the criminal charge, is it, that he's pleaded guilty to?
Yeah. But by doing so, he was encouraging terrorism. I mean, obviously, this is more often used, or you kind of more often see it when it's Islamist sort of terrorists sort of sharing, you know, ISIS videos and beheading videos and all that sort of stuff. But this guy was sharing sort of far-right stuff. So it's, you know, the manifestos of people like Anders Breivik, Dylan Roof, who killed a load of people, black worshippers in a church in the United States. His thing was called The Last Rhodesian. And also Brenton Tarrant, who killed a lot of people in New Zealand in a mosque. So
yeah,
they were all
sort
of fellow
years.
Travelers, sort of white supremacists kind of thing.
So Breivik was, he committed his attacks in Norway in 2011, and he killed 8 people by detonating a van bomb at in Oslo, and then he killed an incredible 69 people from the Workers' Youth League who were at a summer camp on an island called Utøya.
His manifesto, as you call it, was something he wrote to explain what he intended to do and sort of explain his politics and his belief behind it. So that, presumably, Breivik, from memory, he actually posted before or you know, it came up around the time that he committed these mass murders. Like, where does that live since it has been banned? I presume the Norwegian authorities had that taken down off the internet, but people can grab and download it and store it, I presume.
Yeah, I presume it sort of lives on in the dark web, and you know, it's like a lot of these. It's like sort of child abuse videos. You know, you can never truly sort of take them down. They're always sort of somebody's copied them, and they'll be somewhere out there in the murkiest depths of the internet. But yeah, so Breivik's manifesto is out there somewhere, and you know, the people in the know were sharing it. But it was quite interesting, you know, hear him talking, Kearney talking about, you know, what he believes. I mean, he was very careful. He didn't really want to be referring to white people, but he was, you know, that's what he basically means, that white people are in danger of being outnumbered by migrants, et cetera, et cetera. But he was referring to ethnic indigenous people of the British Isles, which included the Irish, the Welsh, the Scottish, and the English, but not anyone who was black. You know, so if you were, you know, born in Dublin, you're black, you couldn't count as being indigenous Irish. So.
Right. When you say we're hearing his beliefs, so did he speak during the court case when he pleaded guilty or something? Is this coming from his Telegram channel?
It's a very strange thing. I don't know if you have a similar thing in Ireland, but it's called a Newton hearing. So it's when you plead guilty to a charge, but you are sort of quibbling about what your culpability was. So you could have it in a murder case. You know, you could say, well, yeah, I did murder that person, but I didn't rape them, or I didn't do some aggravating factor. It's quite rare in a Newton hearing, but in a murder case. But in this case, he's basically, so the difference is that the prosecution say that he did it with the intent, you know, he fully knew what he was downloading, he fully knew what he was sharing, and he was doing it with the intent of encouraging terrorism or sort of whipping up, you know, racial hatred. And he said, I didn't really know what I was doing. I was a bit reckless, you know, or his defense says he was reckless and he didn't know what he was sharing. He hadn't fully read them or hadn't really sort of looked at them, and he was sharing loads and loads of stuff. And he was just, you know, he was reckless as to what it was, but so that's why he was giving evidence about over 2 days. It was very strange to hear from him.
So, and a Newton hearing, of course, we do know what that was here, because Thomas Bomber Kavanagh took a Newton hearing in his case. He pleaded guilty to importing drugs into the UK, but he quibbled about the amount of drugs that he'd imported. And that's what happened there. And it delayed the case a lot over the course of some time involving COVID and people not being able to travel and etc. So, so this is what he did. He pleaded guilty, but he sort of didn't want to totally plead to everything that the state said he did. So what had he got to say for himself? Did he give any details about his background, Kearney? Because, of course, he was extradited from Alicante in September of 2021 on these charges. He was based out in Spain, in an area that would be seen as the heartland for expats being involved in something in organised crime. Was there any suggestion that there was links between this fascist organisation and organised crime?
Not so much organised crime, but he was associated with groups that have been convicted. For example, National Action he was a, I think he was a member of National Action. There was a video shown of him in court waving a National Action flag during a demo in Darlington in the north of England in 2016. Apparently there was a demo against Asian grooming gangs. National Action was banned shortly after that. It was it's sort of been involved in various sort of far-right activities. It's never actually carried out a terrorist action, but it has, it condoned, for example, the killing of Joe Cox, Labour MP, and it has been, it also plotted, I believe, against another Labour MP, Rosie Cooper. So yeah, he was part of that. He'd also been part of the EDL, English Defence League. He was quite dismissive of them, just saying they're a bunch of fools. They just like turning up every week for a punch up with, you know, opponents, but they're not actually achieving anything. But yeah, he gave a bit of a biopic, biography of his life. He said that he joined the British Army when he was 18, served in Iraq in the parachute regiment. He's obviously a bit of a fitness fanatic. He's got, you know, there's lots of videos and stuff, clips of him flexing his muscles and showing off his physique. But we don't really know what happened in the intervening years. He was living in Spain with his wife and four children at the time of his arrest. And he was, you know, spending a lot of time doing this blogging and stuff, but I'm not quite sure what he was actually doing for a living.
So he was essentially, working remotely for the patriotic alternative, sort of as a propagandist or as a PR man.
Yeah, I think he was heavily affiliated to them, and he said he agreed with a lot of their ideas by their leader, I think a guy called Mark Collett. He also hosted a podcast called The Absolute State of Britain, which was him and a few like-minded souls sort of putting the world to rights. I think it was quite ironic that he was postulating about Britain and what's wrong with the state of Britain. And also, you know, he was worried about Britain, you know, British people becoming a minority in their own homeland while he was living in Spain. So I don't know what the Spanish people think of that.
And of course, yeah. Patriotic Alternative have been around for a good few years and have become so concerning that a Labour MP, George Howarth, has called for them to be described or prescribed as a terrorist organisation.
Mm. Yeah, well, I think they're probably, you know, they're quite close to that, you know, to being prescribed. They're probably maybe just sailing close to the wind. I imagine that the Home Secretary every now and again sort of considers that. But yeah, they're currently a legal group. They've supported a lot of demonstrations in the last year or so against illegal immigrants, well, against, asylum seekers, people who have come across on the boats and are being put up in hotels in various places. There was one in Cornwall recently, which they were behind Patriotic Alternative. So, but at the moment, you know, they're just sort of whipping up.
Are they the biggest group
without violence,
Chris, at the moment?
Sorry?
Are they the biggest group, far-right group there at the moment?
Well, they're possibly. I mean, the EDL seem to have sort of faded away. I don't know where it happened to the EDL.
Is Tommy Robinson still involved with the EDL?
No, well, Tommy Robinson had obviously his many, many legal problems. And I think he sort of drifted off the scene as well, really.
Well, he was over here in Dublin not so long ago.
Sorry?
He was over here in Dublin not so long ago and did a tour of create a video content about some of these marches that were also happening here on hotels and centres where refugees were living, and they were a cause for concern. So it's interesting how the UK, which has a bigger problem than this than us, is looking at actually, you know, deeming these organisations terrorist organisations, because, of course, that means they're easier to shut down, doesn't it, and to get criminal convictions against its members.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he were, so it obviously, it matters to him, white. I think he views white people who, sorry, Kearney views white people as sort of superior to, other ethnicities. But he was adamant when he was asked about, well, what about Germans? And he said, well, they're a different ethnicity. They're, they're white, but they're not British. So yes, I would have a problem with them, in Britain. So, but then he was also described himself at another point as a national socialist, and he regularly sort of praised Adolf Hitler. So I think, like a lot of these people on the far right, they're just, the narrative is very confused. It doesn't, one minute they're praising Hitler without, and then the next minute they're saying, well, they're British patriots. And the last time I looked, we fought a war against Hitler. So I don't understand it. Really.
And was he praising Adolf Hitler in the courtroom during the Newton hearing?
Well, no, he did not in the bit I heard. It was, I think there was a clip of him praising Hitler on the either the podcast or
yes.
On his Telegram channel.
So this has been put to him.
But he did when he was asked, how would you describe yourself? He said, I'm a British fascist. And as one of the other journalists who was covering the case with me, we were in the canteen afterwards, and we were saying, well, fascist, and then he was saying, I don't believe in violence, but I think if you look at fascism by its very nature, you can't elect. I mean, Kearney said he doesn't believe in democracy, so you can't elect a fascist government. You get a fascist government by a sort of coup or whatever. So again, a lot of contradictions in what he was saying.
And what sort of, do you know of much about the group, the Patriotic Alternative? And he's the first person to be convicted of terrorist offences from this group. So it's quite a monumental court case and proceedings, this. But do you know who else makes that up? Are they public about themselves? Are they also operating on Telegram channels? Or are they tend to be mask wearing, which a lot of these far right groups are?
Patriotic Alternative. Have got an address in Manchester, so they are listed there on Companies House as a political organisation. But yeah, I'm not quite sure how many people they would claim as members. It's a bit like, the Provisional IRA, the UVF. I mean, how many of these do they actually have membership lists? People actually put it down in writing, or are you? You can be convicted of membership of a prescribed organization without, having to have a membership card. I think it's just your actions show that you are a member, really.
And they're very active, like most of these groups on social media. I think by October 2020, a couple of months after they were founded, they were using the YouTube channel to try and recruit people and to spread their message. And excuse me.
Yeah, they are. A lot of these groups are quite sort of technologically savvy. They know what sort of social media and apps people are using, and then they know how to get followers and build up an audience.
What has the fitness club got to do with it? They have their own fitness club initiative, which is again to try and recruitment drive.
Yeah, I think it. It's a bit dangerous because there's sort of a slight sort of correlation with Andrew Tate and people like that who are obsessed with fitness, and it's all about the sort of young men have to be super fit. And part of our problem is that we've all sort of become sort of chubby, unfit, liberals, and we need to go back to that sort of fitness ethic, which again, Hitler was very keen on fitness. The national, the Hitler Youth, not the Nazi regime, were obsessed with fitness. So there's a sort of, there's nothing wrong with fitness, obviously.
A lot of kind of culty type groups will use it as part of their recruitment drive. And of course, it's about image and, marketing, and also they'll try and, not too many celebrities would be urged to go forth to the far right, no doubt, with the cancel culture. But they certainly have tried to, a lot of cult groups have tried to lure celebrity in order to lure more members. So it's all kind of in and around the same process and structures, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there is that sort of, maybe we have to get, you know, they want all to be fit and ready for when there's a revolution or a race war. Or, I mean, some of the, couple of the things that he shared, one was a book called Siege, which is a well-known novel, which is based on a sort of race civil war, which ends up with, you know, a new white order. There's one, another one called The Turner Diaries, which is sort of similarly based on a, that's kind of more, I think that one's more sort of anti-Semitic. And I mean, it was quite strange at one point that he was asked by one of the barristers what his views were about Jews. And he was basically saying, you know, he was coming out with a lot of anti-Semitic stuff about, yeah, they run the world and they're pushing this globalist liberal agenda. And the man who's ultimately going to make the decision or going to sentence him, Judge Richard Marx, who I believe is Jewish. So that was perhaps
a bit unfortunate.
Unfortunate, yeah.
So what's happening next for him? He's due back for sentence and he could be facing up to 10 years in prison for this, for sharing this material.
Yeah, that's right. So the judge has to make a ruling as to whether, you know, he thinks he was reckless or deliberate when he was sharing this stuff. And that will obviously affect the sentence he gives him. Kearney seemed to be sort of faced up to the fact that he's going to spend some time, quite some time in prison. But he seems very unapologetic about his sort of main reason for doing it. He seems to think, you know, we're all wrong and everybody's wrong, and you know, he's fighting the good cause. Otherwise we'll all be sort of drowned out in racial impurity. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens when he's sentenced.
You've been listening to Crime World, a podcast from SundayWorld.com, produced by Ian Mullaney and edited by me, Nicola Tallant. Research assistant is Clodagh Meaney. If you like this show and love true crime, leave us a review, or why not download the free SundayWorld.com app for lots more stories from Ireland and across the globe.